We have been confronted with contrast this year in our journey with Mark, and continue in the season of Lent as we have continued to head towards Jerusalem with Jesus in the long readings from the Gospel of John. We have been gently but persistently confronted with the contrast between Jesus' message and the response of those in worldly power. Jesus presents us with a message of faith, joy, inclusion, reconciliation, and the incomprehensible love of God for all of God's children. The worldly powers, often represented by the Pharisees and scribes, present a message of exclusion, anger, judgment, and fear. This represents nothing less than the very real clash of two very different kingdoms. We see this clash come to its climax and conclusion this week, beginning today. Jesus' hour has finally come. In roughly 20 minutes, we have progressed from triumphal cries for our Messiah King to demands for his execution. The walls that reverberated with the cries of Hosanna to the Son of David now echo with the shouts of "Crucify him! Crucify him!" We have come to the beginning of Holy Week, and this clash of kingdoms and the consequences that follow will focus, drive, and deliver us through the events of this week. What we'll experience this week is nothing less than the ultimate encounter between the kingdoms and forces of this world and the kingdom of God, which Jesus has proclaimed since the very beginning of his ministry. Throughout the Gospels, his message has been received with misunderstanding and confusion, primarily because those who hear it, and that includes us as well as the disciples, are often incapable of wrapping their heads around the reality of his message. We are, by our very natures, too often caught up in the powers, influences, and seduction of this world to be open to the liberating message Jesus gives us. And that message can frequently be perceived by the temporal powers as threatening, even subversive. When threatened, those powers will usually respond by using their power and influence to eliminate the threat. Such it was with Jesus. When the powers of the world felt his gospel message was too much of a threat, they closed ranks and joined together to deliver what they felt was their ultimate weapon of discipline and control: death. We see this progression of events reflected in our liturgy today. We began with the giddy triumphal procession welcoming our Redeemer King with all glory, laud, and honor, while waving the palm branches that were strewn before him as a royal carpet and that have given this day its name. And now we have just heard the passion narrative of Mark that describes the trial, crucifixion, and death of this recently hailed king, now executed insurrectionist. We end with Jesus dead and buried. And amazingly, Jesus seems to offer no defense of himself in this final encounter. In our passion narrative today, Jesus, the rabbi, the gifted teacher and masterful storyteller, responds to the questioning of Pilate only once with a terse, "You say so." He does not even engage the powers of this world in his final hours, mindful only of his obedience, his mission, and the will of God. Jesus' hour has finally come. Holy Week will take us through the clash of these two kingdoms, the violence that results, and the worldly power's sense of victory and triumph once Jesus is dead and buried. They have no idea. The true victory and triumph is yet to come. And so I invite each of you to take on Holy Week. Take it on. Wear it. Feel it. Experience it. Experience it not as a familiar and routine progression of commemorative events, nor as a week of endless and boring church services. Rather, experience it as a whole and seamless fabric, woven of one piece, each day a part of the whole, leading finally to the joy of its completion in Easter victory. The Passion of Christ is a series of interconnected events of which the sum is much greater than the individual parts. But all the parts are necessary together to bring the sum to its divine conclusion. The word passion in this context certainly means suffering, but the implication is of suffering with ultimate victory. And the victory, the message, the liberation, the joy, and the peace are not simply commemorative historical events, but living, current, and continued manifestations of the presence of God Christ in all our lives. So take on Holy Week. Wear it. Feel it. Experience it. Then and now. We are by definition an Easter people. But there can be no Easter without Good Friday. By the same token, without Easter, Good Friday is just another senseless execution. Our path to the mystery, the triumph, and the joy of the empty tomb must first pass through the grief, the sorrow, and the fear